Welcome back to Values and Ethics from Living Room to Boardroom. One of my favorite topics, one of the topics that I have built my business around, I'm referring to valuesofthewise.com. That is wisdom. So today's topic is an exploration of wisdom. It's a simple yet elusive matter. And I've got two guests that I'm really proud and pleased to have speak with me to help me understand wisdom a bit better and to share some of their ideas and perspectives. First I have Wes Nisker. I don't know if that sounded right. W-E-S is his first name, and then Nisker, N-I-S-K-E-R is his last name. He goes by Scoop, so usually I try to get the guests to allow me to call them by their first names, but today I think I'll try to get Wes to let me call him Scoop. He's an author of a best-selling book called The Essential Crazy Wisdom. It's an underground classic. He's also a radio commentator, Buddhist meditation teacher, and performer. I'll tell you just a little bit more about him when I return from the break, but here's a prelude as to what we're going to be talking about, the angle that we're going to look at wisdom from. This is by William Blake. He said, "Do what you will, this life's a fiction, and is made up of contradiction." Sounds interesting, complex yet simple. Stay tuned through the commercial, and Scoop Nisker will help us explore these ideas on World Talk Radio.
Mission critical. Two words that describe the data vital to every e-commerce website. If your company needs the services of an unparalleled co-location facility, you need to remember these two words, Castle Access. With Castle Access, your internet servers will be secure in environmentally controlled data centers that offer high-speed managed internet access and the highest standards of 24/7 customer support. For more info, visit castleaccess.com. Castle Access, we keep you online all the time.
Are you ready to transform your existing work or launch a rewarding, life-enhancing career? Since 1996, the Western School of Feng Shui has provided Feng Shui practitioner training to men and women from around the world, enriching their lives and empowering their career paths. Designed with busy schedules in mind, best-selling author and teacher Tara Catherine Collins and her staff combine 1 week of intensive classroom study with home-based projects to give you the skills and knowledge that you need to successfully take feng shui into any environment. Practitioner trainings include instruction in feng shui communication skills and marketing know-how. Graduates enjoy advanced trainings, online referral services, mentoring program, and more. This is a training that can transform your life. For more information, visit WSFS.com. That's the initials for Western School of Feng Shui, www.wsfs.com. Or you can call anytime at 800-300-6785. That's 800-300-6785.
Listen, the world is talking. World Talk Radio.
To speak with our show hosts or guests during the live show, call us toll-free in North America, 888-514-2100. Everywhere else, call 001-858-268-3068.
Welcome back to Values and Ethics from Living Room to Boardroom. I'm interested to talk about the idea of wisdom today, and from a unique perspective, my second guest that will be on in about 25 minutes has written a book called Toward Wisdom, Finding Our Way to Inner Peace, Love, and Happiness. But it's also a very solidly written and well thought out book. But first, The Essential Crazy Wisdom is the name of the book that I have read probably about a year or two ago by Scoop Nisker, and I found it very intriguing. It's a sort of a small book. It's kind of square in shape, 250 pages, but the text is not crammed onto a page. There's a lot of open space, and there's a lot of poetry and quotations that kind of break it up. And it's just a very remarkable take on wisdom. So I would urge you to take a look at the blip I have about Scoop on the website, and listen in and see what you think about this perspective on wisdom. So without further ado, can you hear me, Scoop?
I certainly can.
Hi, is it okay if I call you by your nickname?
Sure, call me Scoop.
All right. Well, yeah, I was introduced to your book, The Essential Crazy Wisdom, and it definitely became something that I folded into the wisdom that I talk about on my website, because it's an interesting perspective that you have, and you bring a lot of things to the table that you wouldn't probably find in Bartlett's quotations under the term wisdom.
Right.
But a useful addition to the field. Tell me how you began to think that there's something about wisdom that's kind of crazy in a way.
Well, I didn't actually come up with the term crazy wisdom. It's a term that's been used in both Tibetan and Zen Buddhism to refer to an understanding that seems crazy to the outside world, but is actually perfectly sane upon closer examination. In fact, it's fully sane. And you might say that those who don't have crazy wisdom don't have wisdom. They don't have crazy wisdom is not conventional wisdom.
Okay, please help us understand the difference between conventional and then this perspective that I guess you would probably call a deeper perspective on wisdom.
Yeah. Let me say that I think maybe you can understand it in the sense that I define wisdom as actually equal to humility. That deep wisdom is the acknowledgement that we don't know what's going on. Now, some people would say, well, that's not wisdom. What's wise about that? Well, that's that is the deepest wisdom. We can claim to know this or that. We can think we know this or that. We can put out theories and invent stories about what we're doing here, where we came from, where we're going. But at the bottom, we don't know. And anyone who can admit that, that's the beginning of wisdom. And then you start out with a kind of humility. You start out with a kind of with a sense of, of wonder and mystery. And everything takes on a whole other shine when you say, I don't know. That's sort of the ground of Zen Buddhism, which has sometimes been talked about as beginner's mind, the mind that isn't already certain about what it knows and convinced of its truth. And that's a flexible, open, and exciting place to be. So that defines what I mean by crazy wisdom, is that kind of I don't know what's going on, and leads to a kind of awe and wonder about the nature of things. Lily Tomlin in one of her shows had a great line. At the moment you are most in awe of all there is about life that you don't understand, you are closer to understanding it than at any other time.
Well, I'm interested in many of the quotations that you have in your book, because I think a quotation is a wonderful way to illustrate something that you're trying to describe. I don't think I got this from your book, but I think you probably would agree that this is in line with where you're going with it. When Albert Einstein wrote, whoever undertakes to set himself up as judge in the field of truth and knowledge is shipwrecked by the laughter of the gods.
Yes. and he got shipwrecked himself. There were parts of his theory that came to be disproven, and that he himself couldn't eventually accept, and
Yeah, I think if I remember correctly, he held on very, very tightly to some of his ideas throughout his life, attempting to come up with a way to reconcile them with the truth of the universe, and I guess never really got there, but perhaps he wasn't holding on very lightly or in a humble way, as you might say.
Yeah, although I think he had a deep, deep wisdom, and I think he probably, you know, at bottom really understood that, you know, it was fine for him to make a big mistake.
And then you have somebody like Friedrich Nietzsche, who I think of as being a very intelligent and deep-thinking person, and your book points out that this was inscribed over the door to his house. I live in my own place and have never copied nobody even half, and at any master who lacks the grace to laugh at himself, I laugh.
That's right. That comes out of that humility of I don't know. Is that kind of laughter? Is that kind of shrug of the shoulders? You know, it's the great Charlie Chaplin, you know, bopping off into the sunset after all the disasters he's been through, and kind of, okay, brush yourself off, get up, but you don't really know what's going on. You're moving on to the next disaster or unknown world.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm not terribly familiar with either Buddhism or meditation, but I am under the impression that there's a certain confidence that those who meditate describe, as in, I'm confident that there is this deeper level, and I'm confident that when you reach that, this is what is going on, and I'm confident that there is a oneness out there. And how does that mesh with your perspective of humility in regards to this?
Yeah, it's a confidence grows through meditation, which is meditation is really an investigation of your own mind and body, and it's a up close and personal look at the human condition as it exists inside of you. And one of the most shocking things to people who start meditating is how out of control their mind is, how much their mind seems to have a mind of its own. And as you investigate yourself, you begin to lose the sense of that you are in charge of it all, and that you own this being you call yourself. You begin to realize how thoroughly conditioned it is by the past, both by your upbringing, your psychological conditioning, and your past as our collective past as an evolved species. You know, your conditioning as a basic mammal, we might say. You really become intimate with that as you begin to investigate yourself. And then that whole sense of you, I, me, mine, as an individual, as a being that's encapsulated by a very firm boundary between you and the outside world, that begins to shatter, and you actually begin to feel a very different. You begin to feel very light in the world, and not separate, and not so fearful, and not so aggressive, and it's quite an amazing process, and it's a lifelong process. It's sort of like you don't get there, you know, you don't get to a place where everything's where you live happily ever after, you know.
Okay.
But you can, through the process of meditation, really transform the way you understand yourself and the world. And you gain confidence, not in that you land on some point of view or that you suddenly have an ideology that is certain. It's more about your sense of your experience of yourself, how you feel in the world. That's what really gets altered. And there's a kind of confidence in that you, what you are feeling is not truth, but it is ease. You get confident in ease, and that's what the Buddha was pointing to. He said, I teach one thing and one thing only. I teach about suffering and the end of suffering. I teach about the causes of suffering and how to transform them. And he said the causes of suffering are all inside our mind, this mind that is built out of all the past life that came before it, that has these powerful instincts. And the Buddha understood that you can actually train that mind and learn to live with more ease and grace.
Are the writings from the Buddha a little more reliable than writings that you would find in the Bible, as far as a number of people who have touched it, number of people who have translated it, number of kings who've changed it?
Well, the Buddha's what the Buddha taught, his discourses weren't written down until 300 or 400 years after his death. They were preserved through the oral tradition. They were memorized by the monks, by his followers.
Okay.
And then they were written down, 300 years later. I think they're pretty reliable. But it isn't like something that you're asked to believe in anyway. It's not a theocratic religion. It's not a religion that has a god that you pray to, or stories that you must believe in because they reveal some miracle or divine existence. The Buddha said, in fact, don't believe anything I say. That you have to sit down and do your own investigation of yourself. That's the only thing that's going to work, that's going to liberate you from your own ego and your own aggression and desires. The only thing that's going to do that is if you sit down and do it yourself. These are the techniques I used, he says. Hmm. You know, you go and do it for yourself. And in that sense, it's really a very practical, I think of it more of as a psycho-spiritual system that he came up with. It has very little to do with what we think of as religion.
Okay. Well, we do have to go to break in about a few seconds here. Maybe before we do, you would say a little bit about your other books, just so folks can be sure to hear it. And one of them is called The Big Bang, The Buddha, and The Baby Boom.
Right. It's a part memoir and part of myself and of the spiritual search of my generation, which, went to Asia in the 60s, starting with the beatniks, actually, in the 50s. But then in the 60s, the boomers went to Asia to study these religions, Taoism, Hinduism, Buddhism. It was a pilgrimage, and it was maybe one of historic proportions. And now you look around in the West and you see the Asian religions taking hold, the Asian practices, the meditations, the Tai Chis, the Chuang, you had an add-on for Feng Shui, and just before on your station. This is brand new. We were the first generation. So this book is really talking about my own process and that of my generation, I think.
Okay. And is it also true that you do a monologue called Be Here Wow?
Yes, I do. I'm a performer. It's Dharma teachings with a lot of jokes and humor and I hope inspiration.
That sounds good. Is it on DVD?
It's on no, it's not on DVD. It's actually being filmed this month, but I do have a CD of it, And people can go to my website if they want a CD. It's WNISKER.com, WNISKER.com.
Okay. Since the commercial is right here upon us, I sort of hate to make you wait 2 minutes and then just spend three more minutes with you. That might be disrespectful. So perhaps I would thank you now for your time and urge the interested reader to check out the book that I found so intriguing, The Essential Crazy Wisdom. It's a $12.95 book, really readable, and has a unique perspective on wisdom. And with high endorsements, too, by Daniel Goleman and Gary Snyder, the Utney Reader, etc. So thank you for your time,
yes.
Scoop, and I wish you well.
Yes, many blessings
thank
to you and your listeners.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, let's have a quick commercial, and when I return, I'm going to be speaking with Copthorne McDonald about wisdom on Values and Ethics from Living Room to Boardroom on World Talk Radio.
World Talk Radio.
Years ago, Copthorne McDonald, a corporate engineer, believed that technology had all the answers. But then he began to reconsider, took a 13-month backpack trip to the third world that opened his eyes and became involved in the alternative movement in the 70s, and a meditation retreat where he turned the search inward. This inner adventure led him to see that the key both to living a joyous life and dealing with planetary concerns is that mix of perspectives and values called wisdom. He lives in Canada and has a very popular website called The Wisdom Page, I believe it is. When you search on wisdom on Google, there it is. So he's a remarkable man, has a lot to say, very quotable, his books are. Deep in a way, and very approachable. You know, not the type of person who you send an email to and he's not going to respond back to you. So he's got a lot to say about wisdom, and I think that you will enjoy and benefit from what he has to say. So stay tuned to my discussion with Cop McDonald about wisdom on World Talk Radio.
How are you living your dash? It's that little line between your date of birth and date of death that represents your life. Are you living your life by design or by default? Are you as effective as you'd like to be? Dash coaches uncover what you don't see so you can achieve that effectiveness. They empower people and organizations to optimize their dash. Get your free dash coaching session today. Call 516-677-9111 or visit dashlive.com.
Are you a busy event planner, an auction chair, or development coordinator? Well, auctionhelp.com is designed for you. Find out why hundreds of nonprofit organizations just like yours have chosen auctionhelp.com to take the stress out of the benefit auction process. Hi, I'm Russ Dalnack, professional auctioneer, and I'm also someone who can help you coordinate your next auction. That's right, we have a special staff of auction management experts to give you that auctioneer to get the right person behind the microphone that'll encourage your guests to be generous. We can also meet with your auction committee throughout the whole planning process. We're going to give you helpful hints that could add as much as 25% to next year's totals. We're going to train and monitor your auction volunteers the night of the event. We're going to help you run your auction, including the registration, the data entry, the filing, the cashiering, the recording, where to get those valuable items, how to develop your audience, and all those things. Log on, auctionhelp.com. We're here to help with your next auction.
How do you like your coffee? Not all coffee is the same. Kona coffee beans from Hawaii are some of the best anywhere. But not all Kona coffee is the same. Aloha Island Coffee. handcrafted like fine wine, is a family-owned private Kona plantation. They've created the finest boutique coffee you'll ever drink. Aloha Island Coffee, rare, very special, naturally low in acid and pesticide-free. Click on the banner on the Chef Larry Show page, AlohaIslandCoffee.com.
Listen, the world is talking. World Talk Radio.
Interested in advertising on any of our shows? Please click the advertise link on the homepage or send an email to ads@worldtalkradio.com. Or you can click on the sponsor this show link on any of the show pages.
Well, thank you for staying tuned to Values and Ethics from Living Room to Boardroom. About my next guest, I'm excited to speak with him because one day I was searching for the word wisdom on Google, you know, the search engine, and his page popped up there on the first 10 websites, and it was called The Wisdom Page. Very simple. Has a lot of information on it, and it was just a remarkable find, I think. This is how it's described. The Wisdom Page is a compilation of wisdom-related resources, various online texts concerning wisdom, references to books about wisdom, information about organizations that promote wisdom, wise activities, listserv groups concerned with aspects of wisdom. And there's even a little essay that says, "Whatever Happened to Wisdom?" Followed by, "What is Wisdom?" So this is definitely a huge part of the foundation of this thing that Cawthorne McDonald and I are interested in and searching to find a deeper understanding of what it means. And probably you too, being a listener to this particular show. There are other shows on creativity and liberty and things, but this show on wisdom interests you, and so I assume you also find yourself intrigued by the idea of wisdom. And, you know, I think that to find somebody like Cot McDonald, who has interests very similar to mine, was a real find. And as I said, he's very approachable. I've definitely had my emails trashed hundreds of times by folks, but that was not the case with Cop, and I think that is a type of humility that Wes Nisker and I were just speaking of that says more about wisdom than the other possible reaction to when somebody reaches out to you and asks you a question or asks you a favor. So let me just bring him on at this time, and we'll go at it. Hello, Cop.
Hello, Jason.
Hi. Is it okay if I call you by your nickname?
Please do.
Okay. If I had a nickname, I would invite you to call me by it. But maybe you can invent one for me.
Jason's great.
Okay. Well, whatever happened to wisdom? That's it. There's a little piece on your website from Jerry Ortiz E. Pino, which I guess came from a column in the Santa Fe Reporter. Do you think that modern American society is not particularly tuned in to this idea of wisdom, you know, at least in comparison to other things that interest us or other alternatives to the term wisdom?
I'm afraid that's the case. For a long time, I mean, it was just not even talked about. Now, fortunately, in the past decade, there's been an increasing interest in it. But it's an amorphous thing. It's wisdom, in a way, is like stupidity, in that we know what it is when we see it. But because it manifests itself in so many different ways, it's difficult to pin it down and describe in a few words. So, you know, people have a fuzzy sense about it, but...
And speaking of fuzzy, you know, I think that it doesn't have much of a place in, you know, the way that advertisers want to advertise or the way that the media wants to approach issues, or even the way that the American president would speak about things. I mean, I don't think he uses the term wisdom as easily as he would use a term like strength or dedication, something like this. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when a president is talking about his values, you get an understanding of what he values and what he wishes the country would value. And he's more likely to speak about the virtues of standing strong than he is to speak about the virtues of considering various perspectives and things like this. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. And, I mean, there's the phrase, the philosopher king, and that is very much what we don't have, you know, running various places. I mean, occasionally you will find someone like Vaclav Havel, who is in a very wise person in a position of power. And there have been, you know, there are other examples of this. Gro Hartman, Gro Brundtland, I guess her name is, who is another very wise prime minister of a nation. But there isn't a whole lot of that goes on, unfortunately.
Yeah, it just doesn't find its way into the reality TV shows that a lot of folks watch. And, you know, I think that some folks would bring up the perspective of wisdom in regard to, let's say, you know, attacking or occupying a country, but it often doesn't get spoken about using that actual term, and so I'm not sure that folks out there have a good understanding. So let me just ask you point blank, you know, how can one describe wisdom? What do you think it what comes to mind when you hear that term?
Okay, I see it as a kind of knowledge that helps us make better sense of all our other knowledge. It's a sort of a meta-knowledge in the dictionary sense of being a more comprehensive kind of knowledge. Wisdom incorporates ordinary knowledge, but it goes beyond it. It's wisdom is knowledge that understands process. It puts things into context, and it's not that the facts of our life are any different for wiser people, but they have a variety of perspectives and values, which we both see as central to the wisdom process. But in addition to, you know, sort of high values, you speak of the values of the wise on your website, and you know, vision, honor, integrity, morality, kindness, courage, those kinds of things. There is also this element of perspective, and wise people tend to have a different way of looking at the facts of their existence. And there are a number of these perspectives that can really be helpful and that we can develop. I mean, one of the problems is that people have always assumed that you just become wise or you don't. You know, it's sort of the roll of the dice. But
that you automatically become wise as you age. That is to say that an 80-year-old person is clearly wise.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that isn't true. I mean, there are plenty of 80-year-old people with their heads in the sand who are still continuing to make the same sort of mistakes they made at 30. But, I mean, there is an element of where age does come into it, that as we go through life, if we're paying attention, we eventually come to see that there are sort of rules to the game. That, you know, if you're in a committed relationship, maybe infidelity isn't a good move. You know, it's just one example, but there are some laws of life that people, if they're attentive, tend to pick up on as they go through their lives. But there are a variety of these other perspectives, such as system. Understanding systems allows you to look at life a little bit differently than if you don't understand systems. Same goes for evolution.
Okay, so that's probably
that Wes Nisker was talking about can lead to what is called the perennial philosophy, or I call the perennial philosophy perspective, where you start to see that part of our existence is totally ephemeral, but there's something else that's substantial and eternal, and we actually have a choice of which one we want to identify with.
So, for example,
you have focused on the perspective of these high values, these values of the wise, and each of those values represents a vantage point from which we can look at the data of our lives and make more sense of that data. Another perspective that's useful is the finiteness of our own life, that most people, unfortunately, don't think about their own death till they're long in years, but if we can come to a realization in our 30s or our 40s that, this isn't going to go on forever, then that adds a certain intensity and a sense of wanting to use our life in a way that if, we never think about our own death, we may not. Anyway, those are a few.
Okay.
Your thoughts on the subject.
Let me ask you this. Do you ever get the feeling that a child has an understanding of wisdom that an adult somehow loses? I mean, obviously it's true that a 50-year-old person has a much greater chance of understanding and using wisdom than a 3-year-old. But do you see, like I see, that sometimes having not been shaped and damaged and changed by the world can actually sort of preserve a sort of a pure type of a wisdom?
I think it cuts two ways. Little children tend to be very attentive, and I think that is one of the most important things that we can do to become wiser, is to be more attentive to what's going on in our own minds. We can do that formally through meditation, and also what's going on around us. And, kids just get into stuff really, really deeply, what's going on in the present moment. And they haven't built up a lot of really bad habits. They haven't acquired a lot of the bad stuff that we acquire from our culture. On the other hand, we inherit a bunch of bad stuff, or potentially bad stuff, in our reactive emotions. And with little children, these things are there. I mean, it's anger, hate, fear. Part of wisdom, as I see it, is developing a perspective on those things and a way of detaching from them so they don't control our lives. So we see them as just informational inputs. But little kids don't have that. So, your 2-year-old has his temper tantrums and hits and grabs and takes away and so forth. So I think there are pluses and minuses with kids, and they're just starting off on the path of wisdom. And if we can, as parents, try to surround them with positive influences rather than negative influences, then they're going to not be damaged so much by the culture.
I hear what you're saying, and I think your answer is wise. I've had experiences with kids that make me shake my head and think, wow, this kid does not have an understanding of what's going on here. And then I've also heard a 75-year-old person say, talk about a particular race of, or let's say ethnicity of person in this denigrating way. And I think you just haven't matured in your mind past the idea that, you know, white people are superior in some way or something. You know what I'm saying? So I think you're right that there's this vein of wisdom that runs through a human being from the very beginning, and that you can easily kind of step out of that vein and be mistaken. For example, if you're a 2-year-old and you're temper tantruming because you want something, that's probably not wise. And by the same token, if you're harboring these undeveloped ideas, like for example, a woman's place is in the home. And that she shouldn't be able to go out there and have a career and you know, meet people and be free and stuff, then that's not wise either. So, hopefully the best that we can do is to, as parents, as you say, is to take a child and attempt to give them the experiences and the teachings and the boundaries that allow them to spend more time in that particular vein of wisdom, cultivating that within themselves, as opposed to, chasing money, existing in prejudices and wasting time. That's going to have to be the last word right before this commercial, but can you give me another 10 minutes after the commercial?
You betcha.
All right. Well, to the listener, I'd say please stay tuned, and you can hear more wisdom coming from Copthorne McDonald's mouth and more nonsense coming from mine. And we'll be right back on Ethics, Values and Ethics from Living Room to Boardroom, only on World Talk Radio. François Duc de la Rochefoucauld, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, said, "The man who lives free from folly is not so wise as he thinks." And that goes for women as well. Just an interesting angle on wisdom, I think. The idea that wisdom is probably not attempting to be perfect and constantly do things right and successfully. I think there's a perspective on wisdom that shows that by making mistakes and by being tuned into what the matter was with that particular decision is going to lead you more directly toward wisdom than to go sit on a mountaintop and avoid life, avoid the social interactions and the decisions and the challenges that you're going to have to experience down here in the actual cities. Because I think that wisdom is about understanding what mistakes you've made and what can be improved for the next time. I think wisdom is too complicated to get a grasp of if you don't make your own mistakes and teach yourself from day to day to day what the wiser decision would be. Values of the wise are my interest, and I think whereas Copthorne had the courage to go after wisdom directly, it seemed a little daunting to me, so I thought that to discuss the values that a wise person is probably into would be a roundabout way of discovering what wisdom is really all about. But the idea of wisdom intrigues me as well. So please stay tuned through the commercial. When I return, I'll be speaking further with Copthorne McDonald, who also wrote a book that I don't think I mentioned called Matters of Consequence, Creating a Meaningful Life in a World That Works, on World Talk Radio.
Do you dream of owning your own business? Franchising may hold the key. Invest in a proven business with proven results. Not sure where to start? Franchise Solutions can help. Franchise Solutions has helped thousands of entrepreneurs find a business to fit their goals and dreams. Find information on hundreds of franchise and business opportunities, as well as tips, advice, and tons of franchise-related resources. Franchise Solutions. Find the business that's right for you. Visit us online today at www.franchisesolutions.com.
Come on, dear, it's time to go.
It's 4 o'clock in the morning.
I know, isn't it great? The early bird gets the worm. I don't want to be late. I hear the fish are really biting. I've got the Jeep all packed.
This man suffers from extreme excitement because he just bought a new Jeep from Carl Berger's Jeep World in La Mesa.
I can smell it already.
Smell? Nobody smells at 4 in the morning.
This man does, because he can't wait to ride in his new Jeep from Carl Berger's Jeep World. Jeep versatility all wrapped up in leather.
Come on, dear, up and at 'em.
Give it a rest, dear. We're only going antique shopping. The store's not even open.
You, too, could suffer extreme excitability. See the world of difference at Carl Berger's Jeep World. Low prices, great selection, and 5-star customer service. Save time by shopping online at carlberger.com.
Let's go! Let's go!
It's a world of difference. Carl Berger.
Carl Berger's Jeep World. Get excited today. Carl Berger's Jeep World. I-8 at Jackson Drive, La Mesa.
Listen. The world is talking. World Talk Radio.
To speak with our show hosts or guests during the live show, call us toll-free in North America, 888-514-2100. Everywhere else, call 001-858-268-3068.
Welcome back to Values and Ethics from Living Room to Boardroom. The radio station is World Talk Radio, and I'm always happy to come in here on a Tuesday morning and do the show. I get to talk with such interesting people about such interesting topics, and I also feel like I'm doing a service to you, the listener, to be able to have a pretty unimpeded discussion for about 50 minutes. When I say unimpeded, I mean the commercials here don't bother you too much, and I don't think that advertisers tell me what to do in any way, and I'm really not trying to do anything except explore a topic in depth, probably in more depth than you'd be able to find in other venues. And today's topic is wisdom. I think one of the best ways to understand wisdom is just to go through one quote after another, and see what you think about it. Rule it in or rule it out, compare it, contrast it, shape it, and critique it, and fall in love with it even. So I think I'd like to ask Copthorne McDonald what he thinks about some quotations. How would that be for you, Cop?
I think quotations can be useful triggers, useful stimulants, but I think the process of becoming wiser is something that we have to go beyond the quotations. And I look at your list of 38 values of the wise on your website, and I say, right on. You know, those are the values that we have to have internalized close to our heart if, you know, to be an absolutely, completely wise person. Whether the question is, okay, how do we do that? How do we develop these values? And, we may look at your list and say, oh, well, I already have those values. But if we watch our mind and our body, as Wes Nisker was talking about, we may see that, maybe I'm not living them the way I should. So the issue is, how can we sort of take these beautiful value ideas, values that we resonate with intellectually and get them down into her guts. And I have two thoughts on this, two approaches. One is to immerse ourselves in the right kinds of influences. And, you know, these can be books or radio programs or CDs that help us understand what wisdom is, or, you know, your quotations database for sure. Hanging out with uplifting people. Getting involved with people who are doing worthwhile things. And perhaps hanging out with people who are really working on becoming more attentive, which, you know, join a meditation group. Go on a meditation retreat. Because that whole process is really allowing us to see more clearly what's going on in our minds, and that gives us more control over, you know, what we do, so we can take that value and apply it more effectively. The other element is actually practicing attentiveness. And when you're talking about seeing our mistakes, seeing what we do wrong, that's, you know, applying attentiveness to our behavior, which is very important. And I think we can also help develop interpersonal wisdom by watching the behavior of other people. You know, if they're not handling relationships skillfully, what's going on there? How can we avoid their mistakes? So anyway, there is this whole issue of how we develop wisdom ourselves, how we become wiser people. And so a couple of approaches are trying to improve the level of the influences around us, and then practicing attentiveness. And I found meditation to be very effective for developing that. And the other thing that happens when you start paying attention is all this rapid mind talk quiets down, and suddenly you have better communication with what's going on in your subconscious, which also gives us clearer perspectives on certain things happening in our own lives. Back to you.
Well, let me ask you this as a question that hopefully you can answer a yes or no to, and then follow it up with your explanation. Do you think that one of the things that would be most useful to humanity as a species, and obviously that has a major impact on the planet, since we are the species of animal that has the most influence on the planet, what if we could just touch our cultures with a magic wand and make us much wiser? Do you think that would go a long way to improve the situation that we read about in the newspaper every day?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what we need, are wiser leaders, a wiser populace. And you know, for absolute sure. And there are different levels or types of wisdom, if you will. I mean, there's the intrapersonal wisdom, which sort of comes first. It's developing those values that you and I share and recognize as the values of the wise. Then there's the interpersonal wisdom, where we're applying those values in our relationships with other people. And then there's what I would call the large system wisdom, which is applying wisdom in socio-political situations, the biosphere. And here we need to augment those values with a lot of intellectual knowledge about the way these systems work. You know, what's going on in the biosphere? And then we can bring our values to bear on that to reduce damage and so forth. So it's the values and a good heart is not quite enough when we get into the large systems, world governance systems and so forth. We need to have a lot of factual knowledge at the same time. It's something in my most recent book, Matters of Consequence, that I refer to as deep understanding. It's taking this personal value stuff and combining with the knowledge we need to deal with these larger problems.
An example of that might be the, and I have to ask you for a yes or no answer because the music indicates that time is about up, but I'm just thinking of the great law of the Iroquois Federation, if I have that term right, where they would discuss as a group what decisions they ought to make, and they, I think one of the criteria they use would be how their decision would affect the next seven generations. That's kind of an example of how to use wisdom in that widest possible way, is it not?
Absolutely. I mean, they had a governance system that had wisdom in its core, for absolute.
Well, thanks for restraining your answer. I know you have a lot to say, and I'm sorry that half an hour was all we had today. In summary here, I'd like to humbly thank you for speaking so highly of values of the wise. I appreciate that. Sometimes I don't feel like it has the impact that I would wish, but when I hear from somebody like you that you think that I'm doing a good job of describing wisdom in that intrapersonal and interpersonal way, and that it has some relevance to that sociopolitical way, I really appreciate that. And I would urge a person to check out your website and the resources that it offers, and perhaps your books, for example, Toward Wisdom, which is the one that I just started reading and find very quotable. So
well, I think probably the best entry point is cop at cop.com, my base website, a good place to get to all the rest of the stuff.
Okay. Well, thank you again for your time. I think the listener and I know that I benefited from being able to talk with you, and I hope you have a nice day.
Wonderful, Jason. Great talking with you.
All right. Bye-bye. And to the listener, please tune in next week. Fulfillment and meaning is the topic of the hour. I wish that you have a nice day as well.
World Talk Radio, the number one source for informative talk on the World Wide Web.